Well, my friends, we knew this was coming. In fact, I'm not even sure we're at the final stage yet. But now Bob Ferguson is finally admitting, hey, we got a budget gap even after we passed the largest tax increase in state history. Joining us now on the Warrior Injury Law studio line to break it down, Representative Travis Couture, who is the House Republican budget lead. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on again, Ari.
No problem whatsoever. Always a pleasure. So let's talk about this. He's got a new number out. I don't even care about the number itself because I know it's going to change 10 times before the actual legislative cycle begins. What's your assessment of this?
Yeah, I mean, so for you and your listeners, what the true number is right now after yesterday's Economic Revenue Forecast Council meeting was basically just a little over $1 billion. As we get more caseload information, as we get a little bit closer to session, I expect that could fluctuate between $1 and $3 billion. Now, the Democrats are already doing the same dog and pony show as they did last time and claiming it $6, $7, $8 billion as a deficit number. And so that's what they use to justify new taxes. But what we see once again is that despite the fact that we have record revenues in Washington State and a record budget too, almost $80 billion budget, what we see is the revenue starting to kind of slow down towards reality. And it's a lot of it is policy driven. Sales tax, B&O tax, use tax collections, real estate housing permit fees collected, and all those other things all came down lower than expected once again. And it's we've been predicting this all year long. But, you know, honestly, Ari, when families can't afford everyday life and employers can't afford to stay open, the state revenue just falls apart. It's a classic Lapper curve. When you've taxed too much, you start seeing diminishing returns. And that's exactly what we're seeing here today.
So I assume that the Democrats are going to say, hey, you know what, let's put some more taxes on that to solve the problem. Are they even looking at any cuts? Because we know Bob Ferguson, the only cuts he made were to essential services, no actually meaningful cuts to the nonsense. He cut essential services like Medicaid, Medicare, so that he could keep the non-essential things. Are they talking about anything real this time, or is it just more taxes?
Well, what's interesting, Ari, is that as you go into a short session, by law, the governor cannot propose a budget that includes new revenues. And so he has to produce a cuts budget this time around due to the deficit. However, the devil's in the details. Just because he has to propose that does not mean that's what Democrats have to do. And you see the tax queen herself, Noelle Frame, talking about a new income tax, a new wealth tax, and all these other things. So just because the governor must propose a no revenue and no tax budget going into the short session here does not mean that's what Democrats have in mind. And they have in mind more taxes as a result. What's really interesting is you start to hear probably a mixture of some spending cuts, some new taxes. Of course, we've already been taxed to the hilt, and that's what's the big problem with our revenue starting to drop. It's so bad right now that even Moody's is rating us at near or already in a recession here in Washington State, when our neighbors just to the east in Idaho are completely thriving. And so this is a self-made recession made by Democrats and radical socialist policies that they've passed over the last handful of years and continue to do so. I mean, when you pass rent control, when you increase the document recording fee to astronomical highest in the nation prices, and you've basically crushed the ability for industry to work, you can't build homes and dig yourself out of a housing crisis, and you don't get revenue back either. And so we don't have a revenue problem in Washington. We have a spending problem, and we are spending, outpacing spending way over our revenue right now, and it just keeps projecting to get worse and worse and worse. And so what we need is a no-new tax budget that gives relief to taxpayers and starts cutting the wasteful spending. But I have almost zero confidence that they will really tackle that. They won't ever touch their sacred cows. For example, we spend just this biennium over $250 million on illegal immigrant health care alone. And if you were to pour that money, which I plan to do, back into our state Medicaid that they cut, you would almost replenish all of the Medicaid cuts that they did. And that would actually benefit our own citizens here who are low income or disabled. And it's prioritizing the budget. It's prioritizing your spending for the essential needs and then getting rid of the junk drawer of all the other things that we don't need, like a community reinvestment program that is absolutely corrupt to its core. That's about $100 million by itself, Ari.
Yeah, exactly. And we're talking with Representative Travis Couture. And when you talk about this Moody's analysis, which I looked at also, if Washington's in a recession, and this is a good opportunity to re-educate everybody what a word recession actually means, it's when there's a downturn in economic activity. When you tax people, they save their money for taxes. They don't spend it on the economy. And if that's the case, the money's not going into the economy, causing a recession. So around here in Washington, they want to make things worse by taxing us worse for failed programs, for fraudulent programs, for wasteful programs. And it seems to be that's the only thing they know how to do rather than actually look at these programs and go, hey, they're an absolute disaster.
Right. I mean, good family wage. One of the biggest things of the biggest shocker, I think, of this economic forecast was that we project to add zero jobs. Let me repeat that. Zero jobs in Washington in 2026. That is an all-time historic low. You could go back decades and decades, even back to the 08 housing crash, and it's still not that bad. So that's pretty bad, but you look across the country, and even in that Moody's analysis, and you see other states are doing just fine. It's the blue states who are suffering, or purple states with big blue cities in them, where the socialist policies of the left right now are driving our economy into the tank. So we're losing. So some of the jobs that we're losing in this state are ones we absolutely need. Critical manufacturing and construction jobs, which are family wage, oftentimes union jobs. And those are disappearing because those industries are moving to friendlier states where it's friendlier to build and friendlier to work. But the larger picture is that our economy is stagnating, housing permits are collapsing, and affordability in this state keeps getting worse. And people are suffering. They suffer when they pull up to fill up their gas tank with $5, maybe $6 gasoline in this state. They suffer at the grocery store because of all the taxes that have been levied. They struggle paying their mortgage or their rent because of things like rent control and all the other different things that Democrats have passed lately. And Lori Jenkins, the Speaker of the House, yesterday wrote that it's all Republicans' fault. Well, last I checked, you've been in charge for 40 years. And Lori Jenkins' record all across the state, anything from gas, groceries, rent, insurance, childcare, you name it, crime is absolutely the worst in worst record in all of the states in the nation, and some of the worst in Washington state history. So I don't really know what she's gaslighting or talking about. She's the one who cut $782 million from Medicaid. They haven't cut a single red penny as a result of the One Big Beautiful Bill at the federal level in Washington state right now. They passed a PEB-SEB, which is a reference-based pricing bill for healthcare and hospitals, a bill that will raise premiums by $1,200 or more a year on families. And that is actually the biggest pain to hospitals in our medical system right now and to people on the ground. So I just don't know what Lori Jenkins, what world she lives in. I guess if you don't have anything left, you just lie about everything and gaslight everybody else. But the reality on the ground is Democrats have been in charge for 40 straight years here. That's longer than the Israelites were lost in the wilderness, Ari. And I'll just tell you that, you know, people are suffering right now, and it's not Republicans who have been making the decisions. We've been fighting back. We tried to fix Medicaid. We tried to give sales tax relief. We even tried to give a one-time sales tax holiday for back-to-school supplies. I mean, we tried everything, and all we asked in return is to cut the things we don't need, like lavish amounts of employees at our higher education institutions where there's rarely any enrollment nowadays, and also things like big, expensive DEI programs, which are racist and do nothing to elevate the people of Washington state, where we spend millions upon millions upon millions of dollars on those things, and we wanted to shuffle that money back into places that are the most meaningful to the most Washingtonians, things that we need: public safety, safe streets, more cops, you know, actually streets that are paved for once, and transportation projects that get done, and you name it. But we're going in the absolutely wrong direction. But what I'll say is I see a lot of people, and I know you do too, Ari, where people want to move out of this state because it's so bad. And I totally understand that, but we're close to something good here. Once the pendulum has swung too far to the left, which it has, it's only one place left to go, and that's to swing back to the right. People have to have hope. That's why we see people like you and Scott Pressler and others out there trying to deliver that message of hope. We need Republicans to vote. Had Republicans who voted for Donald Trump showed up to vote in this last election, we would have ended a supermajority in Olympia and elected Michelle Caldier and Chad Magendaz. But Republicans didn't show up because they feel so hopeless right now. I'm just here to tell you that there is hope. This can be fixed. It will be fixed, but it's a team effort, and everyone has to show up and do their part. And if you think the system is rigged, well, guess what? They don't even have to rig it if you don't vote.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going on right now. Representative Travis Couture, thank you so much for your analysis of the situation and for the encouragement for all of us who think there's no hope. Of course, there always is. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, buddy. See you later.
Always a pleasure. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to The Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.